This past summer, I had incredible opportunities to do new things. And one of the amazing things that we were able to do was to go to the island of Iona in Scotland. And this was something that I had heard about. I had lots of colleagues who had done this, and Bobby Fisher has been there a few times and told me all about it. But it was new to me, and it was new to my family. And going to Iona, I may have said this before, but going to Iona is truly a pilgrimage because it takes a lot to get there. We had been in Ireland the week before, so we had to take a plane from Dublin to Glasgow, and then we took a cab to the train station, and then we took a 3-hour train ride up to the coast, and a 45-minute ferry ride across the water, and then a 2-hour bus ride across the next island, and then another, like, 15-minute ferry to Iona. So it was a lot, and fortunately, Bobby had prepared me for all of that, and I knew that it was going to be a long trip, and we split it over 2 days, but I was really worried about it. I was really scared. Here I was, 9,000 miles away from home, and I had dragged my family with me to do something that I had wanted to do, but I was really worried. I was discouraged that all of this work would be in vain, that I was bringing them someplace where the kids would be bored out of their mind, where Rachel would be bored out of her mind, because it'd be all, for me, fun, churchy stuff that I was doing. So I couldn't really enjoy the trip. The journey there was so worrisome for me that everything seemed like it was just a big tragedy. I was worried that we would miss all of the scheduled stops that we had to make. I was, as we were driving, the 2-hour trip over the island of Mull was honestly at the time a little frightening for me, because it's, you're on these tiny little roads and a big bus, and people have to pull over out of the way to get out of your way, and it was kind of rainy and dull, as it often is in Scotland, and I didn't know where we were going, and it seemed like we were in the middle of nowhere, and where were they taking us, and what was going to be there when we got there, and it was just so worrisome that I just couldn't enjoy myself. I couldn't find joy in what we were doing. So when I was reading these stories, I was really connecting with the Pharisees. You know, often we look at the Pharisees in our Gospels, and we really put them in the role of the evil ones, the bad guys. They're the ones who do everything wrong. They never disagree, you know, they always disagree with Jesus. They don't know what's going on. But the truth is, the Pharisees were scared. They were living under an oppressive government. They were minorities who were barely surviving under Roman rule. And their church was changing. Their religion, their faith was changing. They were based in the temple, but the temple was constantly under attack. Their faith was under attack, and they didn't know what was coming next. But they knew how things had always been. They knew what their traditions and their rituals were. And so here we see these three situations that they're in. The first, they're in this home, this packed home where Jesus is teaching and healing, and they see this paralytic man, and Jesus forgives his sins, and they whisper to themselves, what's going on here? This isn't the way we do things. I think they had a little bit of fear of God. They were worried that Jesus' blasphemy would destroy them, would bring down God's wrath. And then they see Jesus meeting with all of these sinners and tax collectors. Now, I always have to say, whenever we talk about tax collectors, for Melinda's benefit, tax collectors are not inherently evil. Let's all remember that. But these tax collectors in that time were ripping people off. They were sticking money in their own pockets. They were working for this oppressive, corrupt regime, stealing from the people that they were supposed to be serving. But here's Jesus sitting at a table with them and with all of these other people who do these things that people say are wrong. And now the Pharisees and the scribes, they say to Jesus' disciples, hey, what's going on here? This isn't the way that things are supposed to happen. We have a social order here that we need to follow. Because if we don't follow it, then Rome's going to be on our back. And they're going to come after us. And then what's going to happen? And then, what's the third story? And then they ask about fasting. They've seen these things. They say, we have a way that we do things. We have rituals. We have this tradition that we follow, where we fast. And even the one that your disciples are following, John the Baptist, his disciples fast too. Why aren't you doing this? This is the way that we've always done it. It's what they say to Jesus. So their fear was a lot like mine. My fear going across Iona, this isn't something that I do. I don't travel like this. My family's never traveled like this. This isn't the way that I do things. But of course, there's another side to the story. There are all of these other people in these stories. The man who's paralyzed, his friends find this glimmer of hope. They say, I've heard about this man named Jesus who's doing these miracles, and all we have to do is bring you to him. And then they come and they see this house packed, and they can't get to the door, and they can't get their friends, and they're trying to get Jesus' attention, and it's not working. But they so believe. They have faith in themselves. They have faith in the situation that they say, wait, maybe there's another way. So they climb up to the top. Have you ever tried to carry somebody who's not being very cooperative or can't help you out? It's that dead weight of trying to pick up a grown man, carrying him up to the roof, and then lowering him down to see Jesus. And then there's Levi. I always imagine him sitting in his little tax collecting booth and people walking by and just spitting on him, throwing things at him. Just nobody's his friend. Maybe it's the only job he can get, but he's feeling left out. And here comes Jesus with this whole pack of people following him. And he sees Levi and he says, follow me. And so Levi does. And then Levi takes it another step. And Levi says, come to my house. I want to feed you. And I'm going to invite all of my friends because I want them to meet you. And you know what? They feel left out too. They get spit on and people call them names. But I have a feeling that you'd like to meet them and they'd like to meet you. And when the Pharisees come to Jesus and say, this isn't the way that we do things, Jesus isn't swayed by that. He says, yeah, I know that. I know this isn't how we do things. But there's a new way. And let's stop. Let's get away from the fear. Let's get away from the worry. Let's get away of constantly worrying that we're doing the right thing. And let's remember that God is with us. Let's celebrate with joy this party that we're at. Let's feast on God's love. Let's feast on this community, on this world that God has given us. So we're constantly faced with these kinds of choices in our life. We're constantly coming up against times when we're discouraged, times when we feel like the work that we're doing is in vain. And we have a choice. We can talk amongst ourselves and complain like they did in that house, or we can complain to others like they did to the disciples at Levi's supper, Or we can complain to God and say, what are you doing here? Or we can choose to accept the joy. Choose to recognize that God is with us in everything that we do. We could be like those friends of the paralyzed man and believe that our faith can cause us to do things that seemed impossible. We can throw our doors wide open like Levi and invite people to our table. People who don't fit in. People who aren't like us. People who we disagree with. And through it all, we can remember that we are invited to God's feast. The trip coming back from Iona was a much different experience, because now I knew what the situation was going to be like. And I had a chance to enjoy the scenery, to look at the mountains, to see all of the sheep and all of the animals. Heading out there on the bus, I was surrounded by strangers that I had never met before. After spending a week with all of them, I counted them as friends. So next time you're faced with a situation that's discouraging or a time when you feel that your work is in vain, will you choose to worry or will you choose to feast? I pray that you're aware of God's presence on every step of your journey. Amen.